All right, Revelation chapter 3. Let's stand together. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 14. At the end of the chapter there, verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And I want to preach tonight on how Christ gets in the church. How Christ gets in the church. Let's pray together. Lord, you bless the message. I believe, God, you gave it to me this week, and I see how it fits, how it works, and God, I pray that you would speak to hearts of church members just like you spoke to me this week through your word and with this great truth. So help and bless this message as it goes forth tonight, and we'll thank you for what you'll do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. Last Sunday night, we talked about how Satan gets in a church and how he can wreak havoc and be detrimental to the church of God. Tonight I want to talk to us about how Christ gets in a church. And you may hear that thought and you may think that, preacher, that doesn't make any sense, how Christ gets in the church. But friend, listen to me. I believe that Christ is not in what a lot of places are calling church today. Amen. Christ is not going to be present and empower the work of a church when the room is filled with false doctrine. I don't believe that Christ is going to be present in a room filled with rap music. And that's what a lot of so-called Christian music is today. And I believe we have to protect the music as a church, as a local church. And we say to all of you that sing, there are a gazillion songs out there. And I'm for a new song every once in a while. But you don't have to look far to find a good, sound, doctrinal song from the right kind of people. Christ is not going to be present in a room filled with the wrong kind of music. Christ is not going to be present in a room filled with worldly amusements and sensual music and works of the flesh. He's just simply not going to be in that kind of work. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we see letters written to seven individual churches. Now, these were literal local churches 2,000 years ago, but the teaching and the application of these letters are still relevant and applicable to local churches even today. Now, I want you to see, first of all here, by way of introduction, I want you to see that the Holy Spirit addresses these letters not to the church membership, not to the deacons, but to the pastor of each one of those local churches. Look at chapter 1 there in verse number 20. Revelation 1 and verse number 20. Jesus says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. God calls pastors angels. You can call them what you want, but God calls them angels. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So look at it with me. We're going to jump quickly through chapters 2 and chapter 3. We're going to skip around a little bit, but look at it. Chapter 2 and verse number 1, under the angel or the pastor of the church at Ephesus, write. Look at verse number 8. And unto the angel, the pastor of the church in Smyrna, write. Verse number 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write. Look at verse number 18, and unto the angel, the pastor of the church in Thyatira, write. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 1, and unto the angel, the pastor of the church in Sardis, write. Look at verse number 7, chapter 3, and to the angel, the pastor of the church in Philadelphia, write. And verse number 14, unto the angel the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans write. So while sometimes the membership just gets to enjoy spiritual food and they get to enjoy fun and fellowship with one another, the pastor sometimes comes across as the mean one or the impatient one or the arrogant one, because that pastor, he alone, not just our church but every church, is tasked with making sure that the church stays right in every area, because he alone is accountable to God for the direction of the local church. I was watching one of those sports shows one day, and it was one of those ESPN shows about I think it's called A Football Life, and they were interviewing it. The entire interview was about Coach Jimmy Johnson, and greatest coach ever, took the Cowboys to all those Super Bowls, and they were interviewing. It's an interesting story, other than Coach Johnson's language every once in a while on that show, but it's an interesting story. And Troy Aikman was saying, man, when Jimmy Johnson was coach, man, he was always do this and do that. He's always so uptight. And he said, man, that is not the Jimmy Johnson that we know today. He said, well, once he retired from pastoring, man, he's so relaxed and just has a good time. And he said, but that wasn't him when he was a coach. I told my wife, I said, I'm ready to retire right now. And listen, when you're the leader, sometimes you can come across as the bad guy, even at your job. Whether you're the leader as a guy or the leader as a girl, friend, listen, you're going to come across as the one that they want to criticize and the one that folks are upset at. But friend, listen to me. Whether it be the direction of the music or the faithfulness of a worker on Sunday nights, I'm in here looking at who was in children's church and bus church that didn't come back to church on Sunday night. I want to know if our folks are faithful or not. Whether it's the faithfulness of a worker, whether it's the attitude of a leader in the church. A pastor deals with far more under the surface than most church members ever see or understand. While the flock enjoys the green pastures and the still waters, the shepherd is always on high alert, watching out for the safety and the well-being of those sheep, watching out for the wolves. I'd like you to notice something. So when God writes in chapter 2 and chapter 3, he doesn't say, hey, church member that's been there 5 years, or hey, church member that's been there 20 years, or hey, church member that's brand new, listen, get it together. He says, hey, preacher, hey, pastor, get it together in your church. I'd like you to notice something about the church in our text here in chapter number 3. First of all, let's back up again to chapter number 2. Now, and I want you to notice a common phrase amongst all of these churches until you get to chapter 3. In chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. In chapter 2 and verse 8, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. Chapter 2 and verse number 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos. Chapter 2 and verse number 18, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. Chapter 3, you say, why didn't they have Baptist on their name? Because when you had early churches, if it was called a church, they knew what those people believed. They believed the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 3 and verse number 1, and under the angel of the church in Sardis. And then in chapter 3 and verse number 7, and under the angel of the church in Philadelphia. But now I want you to notice something in verse number 14. It doesn't say under the angel of the church in Laodicea or the angel of the church of Laodicea. It says, and under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. It's almost as if God is saying about this church, hey, that may be your church, but it ain't mine. You might be meeting, but I'm not showing up to work at a cold, dead church. Every other church, he says, it is the church in such and such place or of such and such town. But when you come to chapter 3 and verse 14, he calls it basically those people's church, under the pastor, the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Like God is saying, hey, that's your deal, that's not my deal. In other words, I'm not in the middle of what's going on there. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It ought to bring great fear to our hearts to think that we might sing a special or teach a lesson or preach a message or pick up bus riders or tell a sinner about Jesus without the power of God upon our life. We cannot do the work of the Lord in the arm of the flesh and expect God's blessings. Let me ask you a question. In hindsight today, did you beg God for His power before you sang that song? Did you beg God for His power today before you led that music? Did you beg God for His power today before you taught that lesson or gave that object lesson or ran that bus route? Did you beg God for His power before you preached the Word of God today? Or did we do it all in the arm of the flesh? Look with me at Luke chapter 5. We'll come back to Revelation 3. But look at Luke chapter 5 with me. I love this passage. And oh, may this be said of our church, Luke chapter number 5. And at the end, towards the end of the chapter there. And look at what it says in Luke chapter 5 and in beginning of verse number 15. I'll give you a moment to turn there. The Bible says in Luke 5 and verse 15, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of Him. By the way, we want folks to know more about Christ, not about Trinity Baptist Church. Amen. People see the gym. There's no doubt about it. They see the building. People ask all the time around town. We've already had people ask if they could rent the gym for some Christian school or homeschool basketball league. We've already had someone ask, could they rent a gym for a young lady's summer volleyball league? And by the way, the answer, so that you know for your families in the future and all, the answer is no. It's a local church building, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but the verse that comes to mind is, I believe it's in Nehemiah, where all of a sudden the enemies wanted in. I'm not saying those folks are enemies, but they wanted in, and Nehemiah said, you had no part in this matter. And a people that didn't build the building are not going to have a respect for the building. And not to mention, and I'm not trying to be ugly, I wish we could do it, but not to mention the immodest apparel and all the things that would take place there. So please don't set me up by telling someone, give me a call, or by your family saying, well, let's use the gym. I'm not saying you can't do it every once in a while for a birthday party or something, but back to the notes here. We don't want it to be about Trinity Baptist Church. We want it to be about Christ. So much the more went there fame abroad of Him, and a great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by them of their infirmities. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. We talked about prayer in my Sunday school class this morning. And it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And here's the statement. Oh, may this be said about us. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Wouldn't that be something? Every Sunday school class, the power of the Lord was present. Every preaching service, the power of the Lord was present. Every door we knock, the power of the Lord was present. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him and to lay him before Him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring Him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let Him down through the tiling with His couch into the midst before Jesus. And when He saw their faith, He said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. Look at verse 26. After this great work had been done, they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, listen, we have seen strange things today. And it's sad. It's a sad day when watching the moving of the Holy Ghost of God is a strange thing to a local church. Amen. So we want Christ to show up every time that we meet. Look back at Revelation chapter number 3. Chapter 3, Revelation 3. We want the power of the Lord to be present. So let's look tonight at Revelation chapter 3. Let's look at how Christ gets in a church. First of all, look at Revelation 3 and verse number 20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Now, we use that many, many times. God's knocking at your heart door. Hey, if he's knocking at your heart door, be saved today. But let's take it in light of the text that's written there. God just told the church of the Laodiceans, not the church in Laodicea, but hey, you guys that have your own thing going there, he says, guess what? He says, I'm knocking. I'd like to get in your church. I should have had somebody knock tonight. That would have been, that'd woke you up, wouldn't it? But he says, hello, I'd like to get in on what you're doing. And so let's look at the how Christ gets in the church. I think I have four thoughts here. Number one is this. Christ shows up where he is wanted. Christ shows up where he is wanted. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that there were cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God says there in Revelation 3, he says, you know what? He says, church, you folks at Laodicea, he said, your lukewarmness, your lethargic attitude, he said, it makes me sick. Christ shows up where he's wanted. Some churches don't want God to show up. Let's be honest. They want cold, dead, organized, formal worship services that start at a certain time, end at a certain time, no outreach, no altar calls, no zeal, no fire, no desire. By the way, I don't believe our church is that way, but I believe we have Christians sitting in any church family that have that attitude. It's bless God, it's time to get out of here. Well, I can't believe they're having another verse sung right now. Well, I can't believe that person waited till the last minute to walk down to the altar there during the invitation. Hey, that person may have been dealt with by God and finally stepped out to be saved. Did he just say we have a baptism? Come on, let's hurry up. Let's get it over with. I'm telling you, that's the average mindset of people sitting in churches today. Is I'm going to go to church and I want to check it off my list and I want to feel good about going to church. But bless God, it better not go longer than it's supposed to. Christ shows up where he's wanted. You know why youth camps, they come back with such great testimonies? It's because no one's in a hurry to get anywhere and God just shows up because we want God to show up. I've been to several dead churches myself. Gone to several church services at places over the years, at vacation and even places where I preach. And folks, it's just dead. I preached years ago at a youth camp, did a couple of youth camps back to back one summer. And I went to one particular youth camp. The first week was great and they had great invitations and the Lord showed up. By the way, 99% of the time, the invitation problem, the results problem is not a problem with the pulpit, the man of God praying and preaching and preparing and living right. It's a cold, dead church. It's a cold, dead person that doesn't want God working in their life. Or they're dabbling in sin like we talked about this morning. And they're so worn out with the filthiness and the unrighteousness. It's hard for the Spirit of God to speak to them. And some of you remember Brother Dawson preaching at youth camp years ago. He filled him when Brother Angel wasn't able to be there. And he had all those cup sizes. And he said, some of you have no room for God. You're so full of the world. You don't have any room for spiritual things. Friend, listen to me. We've got to want God to show up. And I preached a youth camp and man, things were good and the invitation was good. And then I went to the next camp the next week and got there and preached the same messages and it was cold and dead. And guess who it started with in that one? It started with a leader. The first week of youth camp, I would preach and I'd give the invitation and people would come to the altar and then the preacher would get up behind me and he would talk more about the invitation and making room for God and making decisions for God. And I went to the next camp the next week and preached the same messages and I'd give some thoughts for an invitation and get it started. And the guy running the camp would get up behind me and immediately stop the invitation. It's, all right, guys, we're going to go have some cookies now. All right, guys, it's time for the bounce house. I was shocked. I called my wife. I said, what in the world am I wasting my time for? Being away from home and my own family and the comforts of my own bed. This guy doesn't want God. This guy's more concerned with, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but he spent more on a bounce house that week than he did on bringing a speaker in, barely covered my expense to even drive to where I went that week. I'm telling you, God will show up, but we have to want him to show up. I don't know about you, but I want the presence of God in all that I do. I need the power of God in all that I do. I want to see his potential in all that I do. Because he said, in God's word, he said, without me, you can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. So how? Satan certainly can show up. And we don't want him here. But we don't want Christ standing at the door knocking, saying, hey, to the church of the Wills Pointarians. I'd rather him say, hey, the church at Wills Point, my people that are worshiping me the right way, that are making Christ the preeminence in all things. How do we get Christ to show up in all that we do? Number one, I see in the scripture there, he shows up where he's wanted. A cold, dead church doesn't want the work of God. They don't want God to move. I happen to like the energy that the bus routes bring to the church. So it means we have to fix something every once in a while. So it means we have some talkers in the service every once in a while. Be good if you spoke up every once in a while and said amen or something. Besides some of the looks, so be it. I happen to like the fact that sometimes we have to find a seat in the auditorium. I happen to like the fact that we have parking problems. That's a good thing to have. Well, bless God, but you got to make sure that this is. We'll make sure, but I like running out of parking spots. That's a challenge to me going into next spring. What's next? What other land can we buy? What can we do? And some people say, well, don't we just have enough? No, I want God to continue to work and continue to work and continue to work. He shows up where he's wanted. May I say, secondly, Christ shows up where he's needed. He shows up where he's needed. Look at verse number 17 there. The Bible says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me. He's saying there, you're acting like you don't need anything. And friend, listen, we can get that way as a church. We've got our building. We've got our facilities. We've got our comfortable pews. We've got our air conditioning. We've got our gymnasium. We've got our offerings. We have our missions and we have our longtime preacher and we've got our staff guy and we've got our secretaries and we can say, hey, boy, we've got everything we need here. Let's just ride this thing out. I don't know about you, but I still believe we need God in all that we do. I believe in every offering we need God. I believe in every class we need the Lord to show up. In every message we need God for direction and wisdom and clarity. We need God in all that we do. Christ shows up where he's wanted. A church that wants to do something, not a lukewarm church, not a cold dead church, but Christ also shows up where he is needed. And this church was saying, we've got everything we need. We have need of nothing. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not going to say the name of the church, but I came across on Facebook last night an auction. And there's a church in our area. It's a Baptist church. And boy, at one time, and I don't know, you know, what they were Bible-wise or whatever, but when I was a kid in school, had a friend named Jason. His parents helped to start that church. They were laymen in the church, but they helped to start that church. And boy, that church grew, and they got to a place where they had a good, solid pastor, and then that pastor's son died as an adult, but he died. The pastor had poor health. He wound up dying. And friend, listen, I'm nobody. I've always thought you could do better than me, but I'll tell you this, every church is one pastor away from losing everything they've got. And I came across this auction last night, and it broke my heart. I mean, I was excited because we might get some cheap stuff, but... And the name of the place was there, and it didn't say it was shutting down, it didn't say it was selling, but the auction was like, we're liquidating everything. And I started looking, and I mean, they had baptistry waiters, they had a mixer board, they had lecterns for classes. A lot of it was just old junk that we couldn't use, but they had chairs. The vans, they're really old, but it was all there. And man, on the inside, that broke my heart. To know that a church that was once vibrant and doing something and you heard about it and you heard about their growth and you get somebody in there that starts messing with the Bible, or you get somebody in there that gets hung up on one thing and it just, man, it goes downhill. And friend, listen, if we get to that place where we think that, boy, we've got it all, we have need of nothing, I tell you what, we'll learn quickly how much we need God. He shows up where he's wanted. He shows up where he's needed. Have you ever tried to help one of your children out and they said, no, I got this. Let me do it. And you say, okay. I wonder how often we show up with our organized plans, our talents, our decorations, our candy, our skits, our handpicked songs, our sermons, our illustrations, our lessons, and we never stop to remind God how much we need Him. Almost as if we're saying, God, I've got this. I got it. I'm organized and I got a cute little sermonette and it's, I got it. I don't need you. That's what we're saying when we don't even cry out to God and say, God, I need you. Man, I fail at times. I fail. I know I do. But when I sit down with a blank sheet of paper tonight and tomorrow, and I say, God, Sunday's coming, and Lord, I need to hear from you, and I need to be able to feed your flock, and God, I don't want this to be about me, and I don't get sermons offline. I don't steal people's sermons. I need God to take a clean sheet of paper and feed my soul so that I can feed you. We need to remind God, I need you. I need you. You walking up here to this platform, the thought and the prayer on your mind ought to be, God, help me. I need you. I want to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to people, not a show off. We stand up to teach. We stand up to work in one of the kid churches. We ought to remind God how much we need Him. I can go vacuum my office this week, but if I never plug the vacuum in, didn't I really just go through the motions? Oh, look, I went back and forth over the whole thing, but there's still a bunch of junk there. You know why? I didn't plug into the power source. And we can come to church week after week, and I'm just like you. We can be so used to what we do that we organize God out of it all. Hello? The Lord's saying, can I get in your Sunday school class? Hey, that's cute. I'm glad you got some fun games, but can I get in that children's church? Hey, that's neat. Boy, you got it organized. I like that. I like that. Those games you're playing. Those songs are fun. Can I get in that bus church? Hey, preacher, that service you got going there in that beautiful auditorium, that's wonderful. And you preach for a long time. And so you know how to write an outline and put it all together there. But hey, can I come in that auditorium? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Christ shows up where he's wanted. Christ shows up where he's needed. Can I say thirdly tonight? Christ shows up where he's invited. Christ shows up where he's invited. Amen. Sometimes people stop by, don't feel bad, but I'm not real good with uninvited guests. It's just, when I am, I'm rarely at home, but when I am at home, I'm probably in my jammies. And it's relaxed time. Man, I don't have makeup on or anything when I'm home. I'm just, man, I let my hair go and no, every once in a while folks will stop by. That's not a bad deal. But friend, listen to me. Christ shows up where he's wanted, number one. We got to decide, you know what? Man, I sure am putting forth a lot of effort without asking God to get involved. Shows up where he's wanted. He shows up where he's needed. Oh, God, I got this. You don't understand the talent you have given me, and I am ready to give it to others. He says, I wish you wouldn't have that attitude. I have need of nothing. But then Christ also shows up where he's invited. Look at verse 20 again, at chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. I just had 3 points. I thought I had four, but just three. So just about done here. Matthew chapter number 7. Christ shows up where he's invited. He knocks at that door. We've got to say, hey, come on in. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. Remember, he shows up where he's invited. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I've never wanted this church to be about me, because this is the thing. Had this church only lasted through Carl Ogden, then it would have been a church founded upon a man. If this church only lasts through my time and then it falls apart, then it's a church that's founded upon only a man. Now, in every church, there are those who they're doing it for Christ, and there are those who are just really attached to the pastor after so many years. That's the case in every church. And one day, if I drop dead or God moves me or get to retirement or whatever it be, you'll find out quickly who's in it for Christ. You want a sneak preview of that? Let the pastor be out of town one Sunday. Christ shows up where he's wanted. He shows up where he's needed. He shows up where he's invited. I've always wanted it to be about God. I want your dress standards to be about your relationship to Christ, not about Trinity Baptist Church. I've wanted the hedges, the boundaries, the guidelines in your family to be about your relationship to Christ, your heart for Him, not about, well, that church we go to, you know, we do that at that church we go to. You're the one that makes us look like a cult. So your pastor's a dictator. Well, sure, dummy, he dictates the Word of God to us. Yes. But I like what the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, When I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Man, I hear some guys, there's a missionary we support, and we don't support him. He was an assistant pastor, now he's in one of the gospel track ministries. Man, he's got a radio voice. We're greetings today. He does like online blogs, and he sounds like he should be in radio or even TV. But man, when I talk, I'm spitting all over the place. When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Paul said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Listen to this. He said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Listen, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's not about man. It's about God. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. Don't you want your bus route to be about more than just you? Don't you want your Sunday school class to be about more than just you? Don't you want the people you're witnessing to see Christ instead of you? Don't we want Christ to be the center of and the power behind everything we do as a local church? It's not complicated. Christ shows up where He's wanted. Well, we don't, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what we'd do. What if we fill up this auditorium? What do we do next? We'll figure it out. Well, I'll tell you what, every time I pull in this parking lot now, it's just getting harder and harder to find a parking spot. You wouldn't have that attitude if you every once in a while brought somebody. Why don't you give us some money to build another parking lot? Christ shows up where He's wanted. I want God to work. I want God to continue to work in my life, in your life, in our church, through our church. Christ shows up not only where He's wanted. Christ shows up where He is needed. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Friend, listen, when we quit needing Christ, we might as well just be the church of the Laodiceans. Christ shows up where He's needed. And Christ shows up where He's invited. Let me encourage you as a parent. always be praying, God, I need you. I don't know how to parent this kid. God, I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your leadership. I need your help. Hey, get off the blogs and get in the Bible and say, God, I need you. Moms and dads, we need Christ in the center of our home. He shows up where he's wanted. He shows up where he's needed. He shows up where he's invited. Let me encourage every Sunday school teacher, every preacher, every musician, every song leader, every singer, every bus worker, every children's church worker. Let me encourage you. Let's change our minds. You say, I want God to show up, but if we're not showing him that he's needed, then are we really wanting him to show up? Are we just ready to show off what we learned that week? Let me encourage you. Let's make Christ wanted. Let's show him that he's needed. And every time we do something for God, hey, let's invite him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I was looking at my keys the other day. I've had my set of keys. This old key ring was my dad's. And I've had it. Some of the keys have changed, but I've had that keychain forever. I've had people waiting on me at the front door. I've had people waiting on me at the gym. Several people have keys, and people will knock, and I'll go, and I'll let them in. But, I mean, it's a bad thing if the pastor doesn't have a key to the church and has to knock to get in. That'd be a bad thing, wouldn't it? We need to make sure that Christ has a key to this church. We need to make sure that no matter how much we schedule and organize and plan, that stuff's good. That's wonderful. But let's make sure that we're not going, we got the offering buckets. Well, we got the list of songs here. Well, we got my Bible. I got my spiral. We got the music. We're good to go. The fans are on. The air is on. And then all of a sudden, man, we're about halfway through the service. And then all of a sudden, we start hearing a knock. I don't want that to ever be the case. I want Christ to have the keys to my heart. I want him to have the keys to my home. I want him to have the keys to our church. And I want Christ to be in the middle of everything that we do. That's how Christ shows up. He shows up where he's wanted, not in a cold, dead church. He shows up where he's needed, not in the ministry of a worker that says, oh, I got needed nothing. I'm very talented. He shows up where he's invited. Let's make sure to always spend time in prayer saying, God, I need you. I need you today. I need your help. I need your power. And I believe the Lord will continue to show up and continue to do a great work.